Miss Debbie Bennett. Thank you, Debbie. Open your Bibles to John chapter 14. Kind of nested there in the middle of four chapters, all spoken by Jesus. We're returning today where we've spent January off and on. We've kind of gone back and forth. In a focus study of prayer, we've looked at God give me wisdom and God give me strength. And this morning we're going to entitle our study, God give me peace. You're just about there. If you're a follower of Christ, you need to hear this. Jesus gives his followers peace when they ask for it. Let's see if you would agree with me. I believe peace to be the most sought after commodity in our spiritual lives. I mean, that's the thing that it seems to me more of us are pursuing than almost anything else. Peace. But I think instead of peace, one of the characteristics that dominate many of us is fear. It goes by other names, anxiety, worry. We go through life with this looming sense of anxiety out there in front of us, uncertainty, fear, kind of always waiting for the shoe to drop. Those of you who know me know that I grew up, my adolescent years anyway, in a small country town in North Texas. Small town surrounded by farming country. In the summer, in the evening, we would fight boredom oftentimes because we were all just so poor. We would fight boredom in the evenings by driving out to the many dilapidated houses out in the country around us that we had designated as haunted houses. And there were so many of them. And I remember this one evening, and you'll realize why here in just a moment. Three of us got in the car and drove out way out to this one house. No moon that evening. It was just black. But we drove off one main road onto a smaller road, then off that onto a smaller road until we finally got to the driveway, which those driveways out there are very long, and the mailbox was just dilapidated. You know, it was kind of hanging off by just a nail. And we turned in this driveway that was dry and narrow, kind of a cow path. And as we drove up the driveway, the overgrown shrubs on all sides kind of dragged on the door like fingernails. And we reached the end of that driveway and stepped out into blackness. And you could hear the wind whistling through all the overgrown trees and vines. And somewhere there you could hear the creepy song of an owl. Those things always find the creepiest places to be. And the fence had long since fallen down, but there was an old gate squeaking back and forth in the wind. And so we made our way. We shined our flashlights on this place, by the way. That's the only light there was that night. And it was old and gray and dark and foreboding. And we walked up by our flashlights and stepped up on the porch, and we had to be cautious not to fall through the places where there were missing boards or rotten boards, you know, on the porch. And we, with great care, stepped into the house. And all three of us took up like 2 square feet of floor space. You know, we were just right on top of each other. And the three of us kind of inched our way through the house until we had convinced ourselves there were no haunts on the bottom floor. But we went around. Every step was with anxiety. Every corner was with fear. And then it came time to go up the stairs. And the stairs, you got to picture this, the stairs just kind of went up the wall. There was no banister on. The banister had long since fallen down. So here the three of us get on the stairs. We're making our way up the stairs together. If there were any haunts in there, if there were any boogers in the house, they were going to be on the second floor if they're waiting for us. So here the three of us go up these steps, you know, slowly, 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 a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry. And for whatever reason, as the wind whistled through the house, for whatever reason, the wallpaper on that staircase chose that exact moment to let go and kind of fold down on top of us and around us as we were going up those steps. Now, here's the thing you've got to understand. We almost killed each other getting out of that house. Oh, those were the good old days. Here's my observation. My observation is that so many people, and I'm guessing many of us here this morning also, we kind of live life like we're going through one of those old haunted houses, you know? So much anxiety, so much fear and concern in virtually every step, great worry going around every corner, always looking back over our shoulder, never knowing what looms ahead of us there in the future. That's how we kind of go through life. What, you know, what a troublesome ordeal life can be. But, you know, then we hear Jesus speak so clearly and so lovingly with such confidence. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. He speaks to us about prayer. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. Move over to verse 27. Here's what we're looking for. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your hearts must not be troubled or fearful. And then over to chapter 16, still in this discourse, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You'll have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I've conquered the world. I mean, just hearing Jesus' words elevate us. Just hearing his calming voice. Just hearing his confidence speaking to us with such courage himself elevates us as we go through this world. God, give me peace. Let's hear what Jesus has to say about peace for those of us who follow him. Here's where I want to begin. Jesus answers prayer. Perhaps this is a good time to address a heresy that is prevalent today. We discussed this Wednesday night, those of you who came to the Bible study on Wednesday night. With so much talk about Muslims and the Islamic religion in an attempt to close the gap between Islam and Christianity, we'll often hear someone say something like this: why can't we just get along? After all, we all worship the same God. Have you heard that said? We all worship the same God. Well, we're all in favor of getting along with the, you know, with the non-radicalized Muslims, but we absolutely do not worship the same God. We do not worship the same God. You know how we know that? Because the name of our God is Jesus. If you know a Muslim, ask her, do you worship the same God I worship? Do you worship Jesus? Do you know what they'll say to you? They'll say, absolutely not. I do not worship Jesus. So this doesn't take much research for us to discover we do not worship the same God as Muslims. We worship totally different gods. And then someone else is going to say, well, for the sake of getting along, what's in a name? What difference does it make whether we call our God Allah or call our God Jesus? Well, that's all the difference in the world. You can call me Daniel Reclus if you want to, but don't ask me to sing. I can't do it. There's all the difference in the world in names. Peter says this in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. No other name. So salvation is found in no other name. Jesus, not Allah. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Don't be led astray. Jesus says earlier in the same chapter we're looking at this morning in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Then here in the passage we've read this morning, Jesus encourages us to pray to him. Not to God the Father. He doesn't discourage that at all, but here that's not what he's suggesting. And then in the very same verse, he promises to answer our prayers. Are you looking there? John 14, verse 14. We've read this already. If you ask me anything in my name, there's the prayer. I will do it. There's the promise. So everywhere in Scripture where we read about God answering prayer, we can substitute the name Jesus. And it's just as true because Jesus is God. As scholarly, orthodox, Bible-believing followers of Jesus, we believe in the Trinity. The Heavenly Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and Jesus the Son is God. And there's always going to be someone who says, that makes no sense. I don't understand that. So if I don't understand it, I can't believe it. I can't believe anything I don't understand. And I got to tell you, that's a goofy place to stand right there. That word goofy is not in my notes, by the way. I just kind of spontaneously came up with that. Let me read something to you. I Googled what is DNA. What is DNA? And I wrote down what I found there. DNA is made of chemical building blocks called nucleotides. These building blocks are made of three parts, a phosphate group, a sugar group, and one of four types of nitrogen bases. To form a strand of DNA, nucleotides are linked into chains with the phosphate and sugar groups alternating. The four types of nitrogen bases found in nucleotides are adenine, thymine, quinine, and cystosine. The sequence of these bases determines what biological instructions are contained in a strand of DNA. The complete DNA instruction book, or genome, for a human contains about 3 billion bases and about 20,000 genes on 23 pairs of chromosomes. I don't have a clue what I just read. I struggled pronouncing those words, in fact. I don't understand DNA. I don't. But I believe it. I don't have to understand something in order to believe it. No one has to understand something in order to believe it. Everybody believes lots of things they don't understand. So for them to say, I don't understand the Trinity, so I'm not going to believe it, makes them to be what? Foolish. Jesus answers prayer because he's God. He's one of the three persons in the God Trinity. I don't understand that, but I believe it. I believe Jesus answers prayer. Let's see what else Jesus says here about peace. Jesus gives us peace. The premise upon which we are building here today is that from time to time, all of us get afraid and broken and find ourselves in great need of real peace. And I'm guessing many of you are there here this morning. Although we should know better, we often turn during those times of great need. We often look to the culture to give us peace. The culture claims to be able to give us peace. Culture claims to have various brands of peace, but they do not. They cannot deliver peace. You know what I think about when I think about this? You ever stay up late enough to watch those late night infomercials? You ever watch those? Somebody shaking your head. No, I don't stay up that late. I rarely do. But those infomercials, they're always selling some bizarre product. They're always selling some product that we don't need. Do you really need a knife that can cut a shoe in half? Is that something you need? They're always selling something that we don't need or is not what they say it is, and they're selling it with this onslaught of very skillful advertising. And I'm telling you, the phones just light up. People calling in because of this advertising to buy these bizarre products. That's the way culture is with peace. Culture sells us their brand of peace. It's something we don't need, and yet they blitz us with their advertising to the point that we're convinced, and we turn to culture for peace. I'll tell you this, because of the great love for their misleading actions, God gets angry at them. God gets angry at them for confusing us and selling us on their brand of peace. He says in Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning of verse 14, "They've treated my people's brokenness superficially, claiming peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they acted so abhorrently? They weren't ashamed at all." God's angry about that. God's angry that the culture sells us their brand of peace, and it's not peace at all. That's why in the midst of our brokenness, we know now to turn our eyes to God and cry out to God, "God, give me peace. I'm turning to the culture no more." And there's really good news for us in response to our prayer. Let me kind of walk into this. God made this promise in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He said, "A child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders." Talking about the government of God's kingdom will be on his shoulders. "He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father," and what? "Prince of Peace." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the owner of peace. He's the Lord over peace. He has peace. His peace is the authentic peace. And then when Jesus was born, the angel said to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." Jesus has authentic peace, and Jesus will give peace to those he favors. Keep walking toward this. Well, that's great news. Who is it exactly that Jesus favors? Well, Jesus says in John 10, beginning of verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hands." That's excellent, folks. Jesus favors those who follow him. Not necessarily those who wear the name Christian. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who don't follow him. Not necessarily those who have done what some church somewhere instructed them to do, getting baptized or something of that nature. Jesus favors those who follow him. So let me ask you here today. I'm not asking any of those other questions. Do you follow Jesus? Are you a Jesus loyalist? Do you follow Jesus? If you follow Jesus, you're one of his favored ones. You're one of his favored ones. And then, look here in our passage we've read already this morning, John chapter 14, verse 17. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So Jesus gives us his own peace. Man, that's the highest quality peace there is. That's the definition of peace. What we're talking about here, I referred a moment ago to DNA. We're talking here about spiritual DNA. You know, I have blue eyes because both of my parents had blue eyes, and they handed blue eyes down to me through their DNA. My dad was a man who was so very determined. He was known as a man of great determination. Well, I've got my share of determination, and that's something my dad handed back down to me through his DNA. My mother was moved by music. I can't produce music, but I'll tell you what, I am moved by music, and that's something she handed down to me through her DNA. Well, when I gave my life to Jesus, when I turned my back on sin and gave my life to Jesus and began following him as the Lord of my life, he handed to me his DNA. And a part of his DNA, a big part of his DNA, is his own peace. If you've given your life to Christ Jesus, he has given to you his spiritual DNA. And as a part of his spiritual DNA, you now have access to Jesus' own peace. That's where genuine peace comes from, not culture. Jesus answers prayer, and Jesus gives peace. There's one other thing we need to see here, many things, but one other thing I want to point out. Jesus, I don't know how else to say this, Jesus beats the world. Like a big brother standing up for his younger siblings, defending them against the playground bully at school. Life bullies us around. We're no match for life's hardships. We can't do it on our own. We stand no chance against the heartbreaks and the difficulties of life. But Jesus tells us to be brave and hang in there. It's basically what he's saying to us here in our passage. And the reason he tells us to hang in there is because he has the bully's number. He has the suffering of the world beaten. He says here in John 16, 33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You'll have suffering in the world. Be courageous. I've conquered the world. So the idea here is that the world gets hold of us from time to time and won't let go. We have no capacity to break its grip. We have no capacity to beat the world. Then Jesus shows up and says, all right, that's enough. Let go of my little brother here. That's enough. Let go of my little sister. Let him go. Let him go. I've got to share this with you. A Tacoma, Washington newspaper carried the story of a basset hound named Tattoo. Of course, basset hounds. You know what a basset hound is? They're not built for speed. That, you know, they look to me like a cross between a bloodhound and a dachshund. Kind of the way they look to you. They're short. They have long, sagging faces. They have long, heavy bodies and short little legs. Tattoo was a typical basset hound. He was built to be a lover, not a racer. He had no intent to go for a run on this particular night, but his owner accidentally caught the handle part of his leash when he shut the back door with Tattoo still outside the car. And so when the owner took off, Tattoo took off too. And he learned a whole new definition of running that night. Motorcycle officer Terry Filbert noticed a passing vehicle with something dragging behind it. Of course, it wasn't dragging at all. Tattoo was just so low to the ground, running. It looked like something dragging on the ground. Officer Filbert said, the basset hound was picking up his feet and putting them down as fast as he could. So Filbert chased the car and pulled it over. Tattoo was finally rescued, but not before he reached speeds of 20 to 25 miles an hour. He was hauling, I'm telling you. He was moving. Officer Filbert showed up just in time. Little Tattoo gone about as far as he could go. He was just about at the end of himself. He was just about to call it quits until Officer Filbert showed up and said, that's enough. Stop. Stop right here. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like you've given about all you can give it? You ever feel like you're picking them up and putting them down just about as fast as you can and you can't go another step? And you see, that's when Jesus shows up. Right at that moment, it's when Jesus shows up. He says, stop. That's it. Quit. World, I already have you beaten, so you quit right here and you leave my little brother alone. You leave my little sister alone. You leave him alone. Jesus says this in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God, give me peace. And God says, you've got it. You've got it. Pray with me.